our Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood podcast. I'm Megan.
And I'm Meg.
And today we are on episode 60, Eye of Heaven, Gateway of Earth.
Yes. Summary of the episode. The light is gone. Shadows swallow everything. As a planet quakes and the heavens tremble, the souls of heroes and villains alike vanish into darkness. The circle is complete.
Yeah, and this covers manga chapter 103, For Whom, and 104, The Center of the World.
Yes. But before we get started, I think this will probably come out closer to the middle or end of December, but our Spotify Wrapped has come out, and last year we didn't have anything to share really because we just started, but
yeah.
Now I figure we can share some of the stats, and then we'll probably maybe post it at some point. Yes. Okay. For our podcast this year, we created 1,500 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah. I know it's a lot. And our top country was United States, which is not surprising. And then we were the number one podcast for 10 fans.
Thank you.
Also, this is not part of the Spotify Wrapped, but we have had, as of today, 3,198 plays total.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, we just want to say thanks for listening. It's kind of fun that you can see all the stats for the year. And we also wanted to share like our own personal, some of our own personal stuff.
Yeah.
Do you want to go first, Megan?
So my top song this year was Good Morning World by Burnout Syndromes. I played it 141 times this year, starting on January 28th.
Oh my.
The cover art for the album really is good too.
Yeah.
Okay, so my top songs, well, the first one, Good Morning World by Burnout Syndromes. The second one was Harukamirai from Kankaku Piryo. And that one, it's one of the Black Clover openings, but honestly, I really didn't listen to it that much. It just was the first thing that played on shuffle for whatever reason. So Spotify forced me to like that one. The third one was Life by Ruda, which is a Dr. Stone outro. And then the fourth one was Gurren no Yumiya from Linked Horizon, so Attack on Titan. And the fifth one was Primary Colors by a Pelican Fan Club, another Dr. Stone opening.
Hmm. I didn't know that. Maybe you told me that that's what it was called. I didn't remember that.
Yeah, I had to look up the translation because on Spotify it's just, you know, kanji.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Okay, this one was funny. Lynchburg, USA is the place that listened to things the most similarly to me, but it's all like worship music.
Oh.
Yeah, so, well, my top genre of music was Broadway, but my top five songs, 4 out of 5 of them are all like from anime intros or outros. And my number one song was River, which is a Vinland Saga opening. And then number two is Drown, which is a Vinland Saga outro. And then number three is also a Vinland Saga intro, Paradox. And then my fourth song was When Will I See You Again, which is from a musical called Treason.
Mm-hmm.
It's very good. And then my fifth song was Under the Tree, which it was the final part one intro for Attack on Titan.
It's so good.
Yeah. And I think if I remember right, my top podcast was Office Ladies, which is the Office podcast.
My top artist was Amelie, of course.
Yep. So she was mine too. I think, what did we say? We're both like point
in the top 0.5% of like
her listeners. Yeah. And we're probably like the two people that are in the 0.5%.
True. Oh, my top podcast was Attack on Titan by AfterBuzz TV. But that's only because I was listening to it when I started my new job, when I could listen to podcasts. And I blazed through it because I thought they had as many episodes as there are episodes of Attack on Titan. But they stopped kind of after season two. And for season three, they only covered the first half. And then for the second half, they just had an overarching episode to cover all of it. You can't do that.
I think, like, my favorite arc in the whole show.
Is that last one?
Yeah. The season three. The season three. Yeah.
Everything happens in that one. But, yeah. I like the Spotify Wrapped when it tries to categorize you as what type of listener you are. I got Time Traveler.
I told you mine. Mine was
vampire or something. Like
vampire,
that.
And they what did they describe me as? When it comes to your listening, you like to embrace a little darkness. You listen to emotional, atmospheric music more than most.
That makes sense. I'm not sure if I would categorize that as vampire,
right? Maybe
Phantom of the Opera. But I liked mine because, given how much we like Link Click in the time travel genre, when done correctly, the description was, "Have we met before? You travel back in time and listen to songs on repeat again and again. The best tracks never get old." Considering I listened to Burnout Syndrome's Good Morning World 141 times.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's only my top song. I listened to it half as much.
I have an excuse. The first one being that song is on multiple playlists that I have. The second one is I only just recently splurged for Spotify Premium. So before, it was all on shuffle and I basically had no control. So since Spotify knew I liked Good Morning World, it always played when I was shuffling my playlist.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I would say my top five songs, it always depends on, what time of year. I started the show or whatever, found the song. Because, I just found some songs, this past month, and I've listened to them a bunch, but there's no way I can listen to them enough.
As much as, yeah.
But, yeah, that's all. That's all we've got. You can share with us your, top five songs or top genre.
And I guess let's get into the episode.
Yeah, we should probably talk about what we're supposed to talk about, I guess. This is a huge episode. So, we start by going back to a scene that we happened a few episodes ago, where the Central Soldiers are trying to get into the radio hall to stop the broadcast. And they send in a soldier and it's Brosh.
Yes.
And Brosh and Ross are reunited and it's very sweet. He had no idea that she was still alive.
He heard her voice on the radio and he probably was thinking it's her, but you can't really, you can think that, but until you see her with your own eyes, you can't confirm it. So his reaction to seeing her again was so wholesome.
Yeah.
I love that kid. So, he needs to be in this more.
Right? Ugh. And I like that he's probably around our age. So
oh, I think so.
But then on to more serious or main part of the story, I guess. Ed is being his idealistic self. Basically, to sum up the conversation that they have, that him and father have, is he rejects father's truth. His father's big spiel about how they all ended up where they are, and how ironic it was. And Ed's like, "No, I don't buy it, and I think you're dumb." That's basically the gist of it. And we get a quick glimpse, of the chimeras and Riza, they there's like these big like black bubbles blocking them from reaching father. And May was the only one that was able to make it down there before that happened. And she is both very brave, but also stupid. She's like, I'm going to fight father alone, because she wants immortality. And Ed notices that pride has been weakened. So he and Al attack him together, and just made me happy because they finally are like reunited after so many episodes of being separated, even though honestly it's been like a few hours. But then I didn't even think of this till just now, that Ed presumably thought that Al was still stuck in the thing, in the tunnel, but then he sees him arrive, and then he sees Pride arrive too, and
yeah, that's
like
true.
He
doesn't have that big of a reaction to Al being there
or Pride too.
Yeah, but you know, I think
it makes sense because
they're sucked into the eye thing that show up. So honestly, at this point, he's probably like, oh sure, all the bad guys are showing up. Let's just a big old party in here.
He's just like, it's happening. Let's not think about it.
Exactly. We'll get the deets later.
Yep, exactly. Once we survive this, then we can swap stories. May throws her spear or her little
knife thingies.
Yeah. And father makes a giant one and sends it back at her. And then she tries to attack him again, but then he tricks her. She gets too close and she is gravely injured. And while that's happening, we get a couple of brief scenes of what's going on with other people. The Ishvalans, we don't know what's going on, but we see them like working together to like locate spots around the city. As the eclipse is nearing completion, and then we go back to the fight with Fuhrer and Scar, and we see that the Fuhrer is pretty injured, but he is very much enjoying the fight. He's super into it. And I don't know, this fight was just very cool because they're both super strong characters. And Scar is holding his own. He's actually able to get a few blows in on the Fuhrer. But the Fuhrer like slashes his arms pretty badly, and he's about to stab Scar, but then Scar uses his other arm to do alchemy, and he reveals it, and there's another tattoo, and he added it, and it's the circle of reconstruction to his left arm, so basically completing the circle, and I think we can assume that he did it during his months-long trip with Marco, but it's pretty awesome. It's also interesting that, like, he doesn't really have any idea how alchemy works, but yet he has these tattoos on his arm and he's just able to do it. Most people like spend years like trying to figure out how to do it, and studying.
I feel like after getting his brother's arm with the tattoos originally, he probably did some research. Like, what is this on my arm? What does it mean? I need to know what my brother was thinking.
Yeah, and I think they're both monks, right? And so
Ishvalan monks, yeah.
Yeah, so presumably they spent some time studying and
He's smart.
He's smart and able to learn. I know we've talked about this, but that's like the thing I don't understand is why are they monks, but then they're like totally jacked? Like, why? Like, are they, like, reading a book and at the same time just, like, pumping iron? Like, they're just, like...
Well, hey, you gotta keep your mind sharp, but you gotta keep your body fit.
True. But
maybe they do that thing where they hike up into the mountains and spend some alone time studying and getting spiritual knowledge.
And they got to keep their body strong.
Yeah. I don't know. It would be cool to see, like, if Arakawa had any idea of what the Ishvalan culture would be like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That would be interesting. Anyway, we have that cool reveal. And then we go back to Father's lair. And Al has gone to help May. And Ed is facing off with Pride alone. And then we get this cute scene of May's, like, trying to heal herself. And Father tries to, like, shoot her. And Al, like, jumps in front and saves her. Right? It's so sweet. And Pride and Ed, well, Pride is honestly just being himself. He's like, you can't fight me properly because I'm smaller than you. You're used to being the smaller one. And he, like traps Ed in his little shadows and, like, he stabs him and we see blood and you're like, oh no, he's hurt.
My baby.
Yeah. And Al, he attacks Father, head on. And then, like, the same moment, Ed escapes from Pride and we see that he got a cut on his face, but he's really not injured. And he, like, headbutts. He pulls a Tanjiro move and headbutts Pride.
Yes.
Oh, although, okay. Ed came first, so.
True. Mm.
Really.
Both series were written by women, by the way, just saying that. Yeah. Anyway.
Ultimate move, headbutting.
But, yeah. But this is just a very awesome sequence in the manga, especially because, this Ed versus Pride. So the moment when Pride lashes out and you see blood in the manga, you see him cut Ed, but then the next panel is Ed turning with the motion, and he comes around, and one panel is just him looking over his shoulder, and his eye is just like, he's death glaring at Pride, and he swings around, and the next page is him just annihilating that child.
That is amazing.
Yeah, it's so cool.
I need to catch up.
Yes, yes, you do.
We're so close to the end, and I'm like, now I'm like a few weeks behind. I'm like, no. I was doing so well for a while.
Yeah, it's okay.
Anyway, then we see Izumi being awesome. Honestly, she's got as much flair as Ed because she's made like this giant crossbow and she shoots at Father and Father's like, okay, this is enough. He's basically like, okay, I'm done. And he like grabs all the sacrifices and we see that the eclipse is almost complete and then we get a brief scene of like the central soldiers, like the leaders, like they're freaking out. They're like, I need to get to the center of the transmutation. Which, as we know from when Xerxes was destroyed, like this very center of the transmutation is like where it's safe, which is just a good sneaky way to remind us of that. And Father, he's like, I'm gonna open the planet's gateway, and right before he's about to do it, though, greed attacks. He's like, I'm gonna take it for myself. And Father is like totally expecting it though, because he's like, well, you're part of me, so I know what you want. And he like pulls the sacrifices away, and I enjoyed this because you just hear like greed, or is it Ling, like yell for Ed, like Ed.
Oh yeah, his best buddy.
Yeah. And then Hohenheim, he tries to attack Father, but it just does nothing. They're basically just helpless. This is where we learn that like that board that Father had where he's like setting up all the sacrifices like around it, that's like the center of the world. And so he like activates his transmutation circle, and that opens like eyes in the stomachs of the sacrifices, and then we see darkness like spread out over the city. And Father, he's like consuming their power. And then we
see
that
he's like
the
consuming
tunnel...
their gates of truth, like the power that it takes to open their portals.
Yep. And then we see that the tunnel that Sloth made that was circling Amestris is like being activated. Then we see like the arms that we saw in Xerxes like coming out of the ground, and everyone starts losing their souls. And one thing that we saw in the anime, that even like we saw a dog that was like also
a bird fell down, a dog fell down. So implying that animals have souls that are being sucked out too. However, in the manga, the animals aren't affected because later when we see Winry and Granny Pinako fall, then their dog is barking at them. So like he's not affected whatsoever.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of interesting that they made that choice.
Yeah. I guess it adds more gravity to the situation when, like, all living creatures are being affected.
It does, but then, like, if animals had souls, why didn't you just...
He's just coming for you.
Like, I was like, I don't want to say what I'm going to say.
People eating tasty animals.
You know what I'm going to say. Yeah, like, why did they just do that? Like, I think that was, my opinion, that seems like an error. Because I think it would be more impactful if, like, the animals, like, were, like, the pets were concerned, you know?
Yeah.
Like, what's happening?
Like in Dr. Stone, when people are petrified, mm-hmm. the animals aren't affected and they go nuts.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we get a cute... Well, not cute because it's sad, but then we see Winry, when she's, you know, falling down, she's like pleading for Ed to save them.
Yeah. And something, you see like all the comrades are falling, and in the mm-hmm. manga, it has this big splash page of like a lot of people, or I mean, when the eclipse starts, it has a splash page of a lot of people. And then later when their souls are getting dragged out, it shows more scenes of like all the people we've met. But one in particular was we see where General Grumman is, and so in the anime, he doesn't say anything, but in the manga, he says, "It's really begun. Well, nothing can be done about it now."
Mm-hmm.
So he just kind of, like, accepts his fate.
Yeah. And then the big moment happens. We see a giant door appear above Amestris, and it opens up. And then, like, a giant form of Father, like, goes through. Honestly, when the first time we saw this, and even this time, he just looks slightly derpy. So it's kind of like...
Well, okay. I think, as a character, he looks kind of derpy. And I kind of viewed it as, like, boy, if somebody looked over my shoulder and watched what I was watching, they'd think, what on earth? But...
Mm-hmm.
I think the sound effects definitely helped, because like his mm-hmm. his shriek when he comes out of it, that was just kind of like bone chilling.
Yeah. And then I liked this line. I don't know if I liked it, but it was an interesting line. He says, "Hear me, God, I demand you answer the cry of my soul," which is a line that is similar to many others in like the Book of Psalms. That's like, you hear that phrase a lot.
"Hear, O Lord, my plea, answer me when I call to you." That's the gist of it.
Yeah, so it's just kind of interesting.
It's just interesting.
Just interesting. I have nothing else to say. And then we see that where the moon has been eclipsed, and another door opens like in front of the moon, and we see an eye, and Father forces God in quotes down, and then there's like a big explosion as they connect, and that's the end of the episode.
Yeah, real quick. I think there's some comparisons to be made to other stories here. So the first one that came to mind was the story of the Tower of Babel. And if you don't know that one, basically in ancient times, in biblical times, a group of people wanted to build a tower as high as they could to reach God. that was very ambitious of them and very not cool of them. So what happened was God caused language, like different languages, to arise so that the people couldn't communicate with each other and finish the tower or even attempt to build it. If they had kept going, honestly, they would have just run out of oxygen and perished. Mm-hmm. They kept building up. So yeah. It was probably a good thing. And, you know,
that's just trying to save lives. That's all.
Yeah, exactly. And that's where a lot of different languages come from. So, you know, the gist of it being that you should never try to surpass God. And the other story you can compare it to is in Greek mythology of the story of Icarus, which we've actually heard Ed mention way back in episode 3 when he was talking with like Father Cornello and Rose and all of them. And that story is kind of the same thing, where it's like Icarus flew too close to the sun and his wings of wax melted and he plummeted to his death. Like, don't fly too close to the sun. Kind of like a don't bite off more than you can chew or leave mm-hmm. well enough alone, that kind of thing.
Yes. Yes. Well, we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Right now.
But anyway, on to our final notes. So for tracking, whenever Ed destroys his gloves, funnily enough, he still has his glove in the anime, but I noticed it's missing on his automail arm in the manga. And for Ed's short rants, he doesn't rant anymore. He embraces his runtiness. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he doesn't get upset when Pride
character growth
calls him short. Yeah, yeah.
homunculi deaths. Well, there's no death, but Pride is weakened, and we can see him being weakened. And then the last thing to cover would be story elements analysis. So this is a part in the story where the villain's plans come to fruition. We've seen the bad guys plotting for the whole series, and now it seems like all hope is lost and they've won. This would be the climax part of the hero's journey in a story. We have the big battle with the big bad.
Yes. Very exciting episode. Yeah. I can't wait to see what happens next week.
Whatever could happen.
I don't know. All right. That's what we've got for the episode. So, Megan, what was your favorite line?
Mine came from Ed when he was fighting Pride. You overlooked the simple fact that since I've always been small and I did the fighting, I know exactly how a runt is going to try to win.
Mm-hmm.
So, being on the short side myself, I really liked that line. And what was your favorite line, Meg?
Mine came from Greed when he tried to barge in and steal Father's plan. He's like, that's a pretty good plan, Pops. Hope you don't mind me using it for myself.
I loved his entrance. That was just like,
he has the best entrances. Let's just be honest.
And he's about to do something kind of bad, like stealing power and like carrying the plan through, but you're still going, yeah.
Yep. Yep. Even like, I feel like Ed was like, Yeah,
Greed. I was just like, get rid of this father guy. Yeah. I'd rather have Greed ruling the world.
Yep. Yeah. And then what did we learn in this episode?
We learned to use your own experiences to help face down challenges.
Mm-hmm. And then who pushed the story forward?
Father for carrying out his plans.
Yeah, I guess.
We can give him this one.
Yeah.
I mean, technically, there would be no story without him.
Yeah, fair. That's not true, because Ed and Al would still be trying to get their bodies back.
True, there was no father, really, in 2003 FMA, if you think about it. Mm-hmm. Not in the way there is in this one.
Yeah. Well, this is a good episode. And, yeah, that's all we've got. Yeah. We will not be back next week. We are taking a break for Christmas.
Yeah.
So we will be back in the new year.
Yeah. See you then.
All right. See ya.
Bye.
Bye.